And I hope what we have just sung is true of you, that you delight to do the will of God, and that he has given you a ready ear to hear. There are lots of distractions. The evil one will seek to steal away the seed. The world wants to choke it out. Your flesh wants none of it. So what an intent then at the beginning of the year to say, I have an open ear and I want a heart that is set on the things of God. I don't know what you think about Christmas carols, but we've just come through the season when we hear a lot of them on the airwaves. We get exposed to some good theology, and unfortunately, we get exposed to some bad theology. Do you know the difference? Well, Bible study, spending time in the Word, helps us to distinguish good theology from bad theology. There is a Christmas carol, one of my favorites, In the Bleak Midwinter by Christina Rossetti, and the music is by Gustav Holst. And the final verse of that carol, the poet asks this, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart. And I don't know if there are children here. What did the magi or the wise men bring to Jesus? Henry, what do you think? What would the wise men bring? They brought some gold, brought some frankincense, they brought myrrh. And this poet says, well, if I were with them, in other words, if I were wealthy, I would bring that kind of an offering. And yet what I hear at the end of this is really the echo of the prophet Micah, who asked a question. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness or mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? So where's your heart today? Could you say that you love justice? Are you walking humbly with God? Because this is the direction to which Abel points us. And if your Bibles are there, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Timothy's already read one verse from here, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, that is by faith, the people of old received their commendation. Then verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And now turn back to the very beginning of the Bible. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. I'm going to give you the background to this verse. What does it mean that by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. So Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, or if you do good, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Abel shows us what it means to live, to worship by faith. Two brothers, two offerings, two outcomes. Cain and Abel come before the Lord, and they bring offerings corresponding to their respective vocations. What is Cain's vocation? The worker of the ground. We don't usually use that term. We call them farmers, gardeners. And I don't know if you've use your sanctified imagination. What did Cain bring? It said he brought some of his produce. So what did he bring? Grain? Grapes? Carrots? I don't know. We're not told. But he's a farmer. He grows things, and he brings some of that produce. Abel's a shepherd. He brings a lamb, a firstborn lamb, and the fat portions. And this seems reasonable to us. Two guys working in their vocations, they bring from their work. Makes sense, seems reasonable, appropriate. And yet God accepts Abel and his sacrifice, but rejects Cain and his offering. Why the difference? Faith. That's the difference. The writer of the Hebrews says, by faith, Abel offered a greater sacrifice. That's literally the Greek word, greater. He offered a greater sacrifice. It's by faith Abel is commended as righteous, and although he is murdered, through his faith he still speaks. And what does Abel say? The righteous shall live by faith. That's his testimony. The righteous shall worship by faith. See, Cain and Abel lived by different standards. Abel lived and he worshiped by faith, according to the word of God. Cain lived and worshiped according to his own desires, his own rules. And that becomes evident in murder. Murder's wrong. I'm guessing that's not news. Our community acts as if it's not. In fact, I saw in the news that Saturday morning, about 6 a.m., the body of a woman was found a few blocks from here in the street, been shot in the head. Happy New Year. The sad reality of the fallenness of our world. But it comes into Cain's mind, I'm going to kill my brother. He's a law to himself. Now, in one sense, we might be tempted to feel sorry for Cain. Didn't he do his part? He brought what he had to the Lord as an offering. He brought the fruit of his labor. He did what he could. He's not a shepherd. He didn't have sheep. Suppose he could have traded some of his produce to Abel for his sheep, but that's not his vocation. So he brings the fruit of his work. You might think, well, that's appropriate. It makes sense. But he's rejected. Why is he rejected? Well, listen to the Lord. Why are you angry? If you do good, will you not be accepted? Cain must have known the difference. Because that's the rebuke. If you do good, will your face not be lifted? See, in the presence of a holy God, the holy God, our best, doing what we can, even the best intentions, is not good enough. Because our God is holy. And Cain evidently knew this. He knew the good, but refused to do it. Cain, if you know the good and do the good, you'll be accepted. Now, we believe that revelation is progressive. What do we mean by that? Well, that Cain and Abel only had a little bit to go on. This is where the story is. Guess what? We have a lot more to go on. There's a lot of things we learn about God and the creation after this story. We learn a lot more details. So we have to be careful not to read too much of all of this into this. But Genesis is not exhaustive. We don't know everything that God told Adam and Eve. We don't know everything that God expected of Cain and Abel. But Cain knew that murder was wrong. And he'll deny it. Where's your brother? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He's going to play that off as if it's no big deal. He knows something is wrong. Come to the story of Noah just a couple of pages further in. And God makes a distinction with Noah between clean and unclean animals. We don't have anything in here about clean and unclean, but evidently by the time of Noah, they knew the difference. Cain knew the good. He knew the right. He knew better. The Bible says where there is no law, there is no transgression. So there must be some rudimentary law that Cain already understood. He didn't care. End of chapter 3, God provides for Adam and Eve garments of skin. Where did those come from? Evidently animals. Start to think, all right, well then, maybe a sacrifice took place at the end of chapter 3 that we're not told about. But God provides for Adam and Eve a covering. And in Abel's sacrifice of a lamb 1 year old, we cannot ignore the idea of atonement. This is where it begins, but if you pull on that thread of a lamb 1 year old, that runs through the entire Bible. Till you get to the book of Revelation, and John sees in heaven a lamb that has been slain. It's the fun part of biblical theology. Start tugging on themes and see where they go. You cannot ignore that. But here's the first place it shows up, that a lamb in worship is important, and it will finish and culminate in the sacrifice of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Abel is justified and accepted and received by faith. So there are two offerings offered by two brothers with two outcomes. There are two ways here, the way of Cain and the way of Abel, or the way of faith. As you think back over the past year, which way are you more likely to have imitated? You've been walking in the way of faith or in the way of Cain? Because the way of Cain is hard. The way of Cain leads to futility. It leads to separation. Verse 15, to me, is one of the saddest verses. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Verse 16, separation. He's apart from God. Now, by ordinary generation, Cain is a descendant of Adam and Eve. In fact, he's the firstborn. He's already a partial fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, which is that wonderful promise that God will send somebody to save his people, who will crush the head of the serpent, who will defeat the evil one. Maybe this is the one. With the Lord's help, Eve says, I have begotten a man-child. And yet, what we see is spiritually, no, he's not a seed of the woman. He's a seed of the serpent. He's in the family of God, and yet he has no heart for God. He played at religion, as much as Israel would later. And so the prophet Isaiah, speaking for the Lord, says, "In vain does this people worship me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." So Cain comes through the motions, but his heart is far from the Lord. And I wonder, how often is that our worship? We go through the motions. We worship with our lips. We do things perhaps the right way, but without the heart. We show an outward piety, but inwardly there's no real affection. That's fraud. In the New Testament, next to the last book of the Bible, Jude, he talks about Cain. He talks about false teachers and false religion that goes in the way of Cain. And this is the way he describes these people: ungodly. They pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. They are hidden reefs at your love feasts, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. They are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. That's what Cain stands for. So Cain knew enough to make an offering, but he rejected God's lordship over his life. And since his heart was not right, God would not look upon his offering with favor. But notice that God is full of mercy and grace. God still reached out to Cain, as he does even today to you and me. God invited him to change. If you do what's good, will your face not be lifted up? Do right and be accepted. Cain's face had fallen. You know what that's like, right? Massive disappointment. What do people do? Still remember that. Around our dining room table, one of my children said, "Hey, Dad, can we buy an Xbox?" And back then, Xboxes were multiples of hundreds, a couple of $300. And our friend had just been burned out of her apartment. So I looked at him and I said, "What do you think? Do you think it's in light of our friend's need that it makes sense to put money to an Xbox?" Didn't say a word. His face fell. We all know that experience. We know that feeling. We've done our best. We think it's not good enough. Cain had come to God and he said, I'll do this. And he says, no. His face fell. Then the Lord reaches out to him. If you do what is right, will your face not be lifted up? Cain was offered an opportunity to repent, but he rejected it. In fact, fact, he doubled down and he murdered his brother. There's only a binary response, A or B. A wins and B loses. Do you think you can change that outcome by, well, if you're B, killing A? Because that's about how Cain's thinking. I can solve the problem by killing my brother. You made it worse, of course. John refers to this. In 1 John chapter 3, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Reveals his heart. He's envious. My deeds are evil. His deeds are righteous. I am going to kill him. So Cain, instead of responding to the gracious offer to repent and be accepted, persisted in his unbelief and bore God's curse. But God's offer still stands today. Repent. Do good. Do the right thing. Come to God by faith and let another bear your curse. We're called to turn away from the way of Cain, to not shrink back, but to actually heed the testimony of Abel. And what is that testimony? That by faith, persons of old gained approval. And it's the same for us. We are accepted by faith. Our life is accepted by faith. Our worship is accepted by faith. Abel could not inherently offer a superior sacrifice. He was like his brother. He was tainted by sin. But by faith, he is commended. By faith, there is the testimony that he is righteous. So we too must come to God the right way. Jesus has a very interesting discussion with a woman from Samaria in John chapter 4. And he says this to her, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." We must bring God our hearts. We must draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's what the writer said back in chapter 10. What is a true heart? It's a sincere heart. It's a heart full of love for the Father. And we approach our God by faith. He has showed you what is good, to love justice, to do mercy, to walk humbly. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love him with all your what? Heart, soul, strength, mind. This is what Abel demonstrates. By the way, this is the true regulative principle of worship. You hang around Reformed folks very much, you start to hear RPW. The regulative principle of worship. coming as he desires. And ultimately, that means through Jesus. That's the ultimate regulative principle. We can't come any other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, there is room in other places for discussion about what's permitted or what's required, but don't miss the point. You got to come by faith through Jesus with a genuine heart full of affection. And if those things are missing, cry out to God. Ask him by his Spirit to warm your heart. Hang out with people that are genuinely full of affection and love and passion for God. And this is a faith that's exercised in accordance with the Word of God. So it is, meaning we do good and justice. We love mercy. We walk humbly with him. And that's demonstrated 7 days a week. So I got to ask, do you delight in the Lord? Do you delight in his worship? Do you delight in fellowship with Jesus? Because it's in worship that we seek his face. We respond to his favor. We receive his grace. We embrace his covenant. And we offer ourselves for service. It's in worship that we express our hearts. That same kind of love that's within the family. Husbands and wives, parents and children. You know where it's just a fraud. It's the right words, but there's no real emotion. Not good enough. It's got to be a deep heart and affection. And it's all a charade, it's all a fraud without faith. So by faith, the Spirit of Jesus shapes our lives. He reorders our loves and he moves our wills. That's my expectation of worship. That we are changed as we spend time with God. So listen to Abel. But even more, listen to Jesus, whose sprinkled blood speaks even a better word. Abel's blood cried out for justice. Cain has a real worry. Somebody's going to find me and my life is forfeit because I've taken a life. Ultimately for us, though, that justice is met in the blood of Jesus. And we're told that in Christ, our warfare has ended. The curse of the law is spent against Jesus. And we in him find peace with God. That was the offer that Cain refused. That is the offer made to us today that Abel embraces because he worshiped by faith. And that's what I want you to hear. That we too can be accepted in Christ by faith. Lord God, we bless you. We bless you for your mercy and your kindness. That after Adam and Eve had gone their own way, you made them a wonderful promise. They would not die that day, but you would send a seed, someone to crush the head of the serpent, somebody who would set things right. And in hope, there's Cain, and then there's Abel. And we learn, nope, these are not they. And your people would have to wait and live and die by faith and tell Jesus, you came. And we understand, oh, you are the fulfillment of that lamb offered by Abel. In fact, you are the fulfillment of every lamb offered throughout the entire Old Testament, because you are the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. And Jesus, you've taken our sin. You've taken our guilt. And we bless your holy name. Lord, may we this year, even this week, shun the way of Cain and rather walk by faith. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. We're going to finish our